This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Welcome to Business Insanity Talk Radio. This is your host, Barry Maltz, and this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 353. This episode, of course, is provided by Sage One, an online accounting and business service solution for every small business. It's also provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, on today's show, we're going to show you the red flags in the interview process that'll prevent you from hiring the wrong person. We're also going to give you the proven model that can make live events for your business profitable. Plus, what you wear, does it affect your performance at work? But first, there's an old adage that it's not who you know. Sorry, it's not what you know. Of course, it's who you know. My next guest thinks that's wrong. He says it's actually who knows what you know. I think I got that right. Rick Gillis is a nationally recognized career expert and employment coach, a one-time workplace and radio and TV host. He's a popular media source and sought-after keynote speaker and the author of five books. Count them, five. His new book is called Promote. It's who knows what you know that makes a career. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. And I'll tell you what, you'll appreciate this because you're a writer. That was my working title, and I was like, I can't go with that. I couldn't brand that if I had to. It comes from a quote that I heard that I cannot attribute to anybody. It's not who you know. It's not what you know. It's who knows what you know that makes a career. And I thought, that's a really great line. But, you know, so anyway, the book's Promote.
It's Promote. So what does that line mean? It's not what you know. It's not who you know. It's what you. It's who knows what you know.
Listen, if you're waiting around to get a slap on the back, don't. I like to tell people in my live presentations that everybody you admire, every celebrity, athlete, author, I don't care what they do, mostly, if they're big time, they're celebrities, they have a PR firm behind them working with them. But before that time, they had to promote themselves. And they were striving to work to, and you know what I'm talking about, Barry. You've been there. I'm doing it myself. But at a certain point, they had to work to promote themselves. And that's what I maintain employees. People in the workforce need to learn how to promote themselves appropriately and professionally on the work site.
But what's the difference between promoting yourself, or some people don't like self-promotion, or it's bragging, yeah, or it's just self-serving? What's the difference? Where's that line?
You know, I'll tell you what, and that's a great question, and the answer is it's in your gut. I cannot tell you what works for you, and I even say this live at presentations because I say, you know, so how are you going to do that? And I say, I don't know, because I don't know you. I don't know your chemistry. I don't know the management. I don't know the culture. I do know how to help you get there when you figure it out. So really, it's got to be a gut call.
So what does that mean, a gut call? How do I determine what the right call is?
Let me take this back a little bit. When we're small, we're taught not to brag, not to boast, and that's a religious and cultural thing. And that is also proper when we're children. However, as we start getting older, I maintain that through middle school, high school, especially into college, and then into our careers, we need to learn how to professionally promote ourselves. And it really can be as simple as saying, hey, boss, I just want you to be aware that I was in here 4 extra hours Saturday. You know, if you're a 25, 24-year-old kid, and I don't mean no disrespect when I say kid, but a young person there, it's a good idea to let the boss know that kind of stuff, because otherwise, how are they going to find out? On the other hand, the other extreme of that is if you're generating $3, $4, $5 million a year for a business, you better make sure that everybody knows about that, because I'll tell you what, I see a lot of 40, 50, even 60-year-old high-level professionals who are all of a sudden on the street, and it's because they did not continue, and maybe, Barry, this is a better way to say it, they did not continue to communicate or inform their supervision, the supervisors, of their value to the organization.
Yeah, no, I think that's really about it's communicate and inform. And the question is, how do you do it? And I think it's easier, as you say, for salespeople because they're the numbers to keep track of.
Yeah.
But how do you quantify your accomplishments, your contribution to the organization, and impress the owner or the CEO if you're not in sales?
Well, and that's a, once again, valuable, really powerful and important question. I'm going to answer that with a short story. I was working with this guy, and I've done a lot of career coaching with people, and I was working with this guy on his resume, and he was a payroll clerk. And I mean not supervisor, not director, just a payroll clerk. And I don't care who I work with. I can extract from them things they have done that they're proud of, that they should be sharing in an interview, et cetera, et cetera. And I sat there, and I'm beating this guy up, and I can't get anything out of him. Finally, I said, Dave, there's got to be something you've done that you're proud of. And he kind of leaned forward, and he dropped his shoulders, and he's kind of dejected. And he says, well, Rick, the first payroll I did for this gigantic energy company, we're here in Houston, he says, I did 6,000 payroll, and I had zero returns. And I looked at it, and I said, Dave, what took so long to come up with that? That's a big deal. You know, you don't mess with people's money, time, et cetera. And he looked at me, and this is a statement that floored me. He said, I was just doing what I was supposed to be doing, and therein lies the lesson. And so there is a lot to be said about the arc of your career, the time you put in, that the just doing a good job has value. And I'll tell you what, your audience needs to understand, too, a lot of people say they can't quantify, and I'll categorically disagree with that, because I'll tell you what, if somebody could not quantify what you do and your value, they would not know what to pay you. So it's incumbent on you to meet that value and more.
We're talking with Rick Gillis. He's the author of a new book called Promote. It's Who Knows What You Know That Makes a Career. I got it right that time. So how you actually state this personal accomplishment, I think, is important, because a lot of people on social media, they get hit up for, well, this person's just bragging. But I think it's all in the words that you use, isn't it?
Semantics are critically important. And, you know, I got to tell you something, Barry. Before we came on the air, I was looking at your website, and you wrote a book, BAM, Delivering Customer Service in a Self-Service World. One of the points you state in the book, in the preview to that book, is you say you're going to teach a formula to determine the economic value each customer contributes. Let me modify that and say I'm talking about teaching the workforce how to determine the economic value they deliver to the organization. Now, here's the number one rule. Every accomplishment has to have a net result. That is not... That categorically has to happen. And what I mean by that, here's the way my accomplishment formula is: a beginning, a middle, and an end. The beginning will be what you did. I was responsible for blank. The middle will always be that resulted in. Literally, that phrase works. You can modify it any way you want, but I was responsible for blank that resulted in, and then you tell me the net result. Until you give me a net result, it's not an accomplishment. It's just a listed item. But that net accomplishment can be a dollar value. It can be a savings. It can be the fact that you reduced a fluttered, you know, really pissed off customer and got him resolved and got him mellow so that the big deal went through. That could be an admin doing that. So everybody does contribute to the overall goal. And back to your sales guys, you know, most of us don't sell, but most of us are involved in that delivery of that sale, that product. It takes a lot of people to make a delivery happen.
Yeah, I think what you have to think about is when you leave this job, what are the accomplishments you're going to put on your resume, right? What's the bullets? What are those various things that can help? Now, Rick, you say that women actually have a harder time at this than men. Why is that? Are men just naturally more braggarts?
No, and I'll tell you what. I found a couple of studies. There was a National Academy of Sciences study that just recently came out that said something about women do not generally, and this is a mindset, and this is not me. I'm no sociologist, but I'm not making this up either. Talked about before accepting before taking a raise, before moving up the ladder, the corporate ladder, they will look at it and determine what obstacles or what trade-offs they may have to make. And that's a fair thing, especially in a country where we don't really value affordable child care. That does impact a lot. So another thing, too, is women are, let's face it, culturally are supposed to be more subservient, and that's just totally inappropriate. My whole thing is about teaching women how to, once again, appropriately, consistently, professionally stand up for themselves. Now, I had another study that I was looking at with a doctor out of Montana State University. And she's talking about, and this was fascinating, this was such a neat little piece, women are not very good at promoting themselves. However, women's friends are really good at promoting their friends. And I think there might be some kind of a little, maybe even a business there, to get people together and talk about, hey, remember when you did that? I can speak to that. Now let's get you to remember what you did. because I'm reminding you, and then you can go use it to talk about, put it in the interview, put it in the resume.
Yeah, I think it's really important to say, this is really what I'm good at. This is really what I've accomplished. And I think a lot of people don't take the time to do that. Well, Rick, where can people get in touch with you to get a copy of the book, promote It's Who Knows What You Know That Makes a Career? I can finally read it.
Got it, buddy.
We're going to have you on again.
I would love to, man. This, yeah, you qualify now. It's rickgillis.com, G-I-L-L-I-S, rickgillis.com. The book's available at Amazon, so the easiest way is to go to Amazon or go through my website.
And give us your website again.
It's rickgillis.com.
And, Rick, if they want to reach out for you on Twitter, where can they go?
Rick Gillis.
There you go. Rick,
yeah,
thanks so much.
Yeah, I got my
own name. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Coming up next, what are the 6 red flags to look for when you're interviewing new employees? You're not going to want to miss this. Is AM 560 The Answer?
Get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Rich, taking a look at the roadways as you travel on to 57. That crash is blocking the left lane just before the Dan Ryan. The rest of the road's not looking too bad. We are still seeing reports of multiple spinouts on 65 north and southbound, where we are going to see that due to the icy conditions. Also, don't forget, later on today, you will see an increased presence of drivers on the road, especially around Soldier Field with in regards to the Bears game. So definitely, if you have to head out and about this morning, give yourself plenty of extra time, as patience is going to be the word of the day with the icy roadways. Weather forecast, thankfully, though, we will see some sunshine with highs in the low 30s. 12 at O'Hare with a wind chill of 0, 16 with a wind chill of about 6 above at Midway. Next updates in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
When all is said and done, and the Obama administration rides off into the sunset, what one overwhelming theme will be the lasting impression? Here's one. Asleep at the switch. While ISIS was making a rampage across the Middle East, we did nothing. While a Syrian dictator was killing 300,000 of his own people, we did nothing. When thousands of those same refugees came pouring across the border, we did nothing. Unfortunately, we were and still are asleep at the switch. So keep it here to learn what we can do about that. AM 560, The Answer.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMaltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Are you living with prostate enlargement? Do you pee more often than you used to? Do you wake up to go? Be honest. Is there a drop in your romantic life? Prostate problems don't go away on their own, so you need to call for a free bottle of Super Beta Prostate, the number one non-prescription formula for your prostate. The ingredients are natural. With Super Beta Prostate, you'll have less urges to urinate, less waking at night, and an improvement in your romantic life, guaranteed. Try it for free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-317-7853. Super Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same active ingredient in just one Super Beta Prostate tablet. Stop running to the bathroom and call us now for your free bottle. Hurry, this free offer won't last. Just call 1-800-317-7853. That's 1-800-317-7853. 1-800-317-7853.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, small business owners are notoriously bad at hiring people. we as a group are just not great interviewers. So what are the top red flags that every interviewer should recognize and act on? Here to help is Elliot Burdett. He's the co-founder and CEO of Peak Sales Recruiting, a leading B2B sales recruiting company launched in 2006. He's author of three books to his credit, The 10 Most Costly Sales Hiring Mistakes, The First 90 Days, Your Guide to Making New Sales Hires Produce Fast, and Make the Right Sales Hire Every Time. Elliot, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Barry.
So first, before we go through the six red flags, why are we such bad interviewers?
I think it's there's a lot of reasons why that's the case. A part of it has to do that we're not trained for interviewing, and so small business owners are under a lot of pressure to fill holes in their companies. And you know, they look at people and try to see what they want to see, but they're not trained at looking at people objectively, and so there's a lot of opportunity for error there.
So we just try to make people fit whatever vacancy we have. We just want to put a body in that place.
Which is understandable.
Yeah. Is it also because when people do the interviewing, small business owners are so used to selling people on things, they talk too much, they don't listen to the candidate?
They don't listen. That's a huge problem. And you know, they're so desperate to get people into their company. Small business owners often, you know, don't have a lineup of people at their door waiting to come and work for them. So they go into sales mode. And, you know, candidates will often walk out of an interview not having said much.
So let's talk about your top six red flags. The first one you say is that someone that comes in and criticizes a former employer. Why is that so bad? If they had a bad experience, don't you want them to talk about it?
Yeah, well, I get that. You know, there's no situation is perfect. You know, we all know that. And sure, there are some situations that are actually extreme that you probably want to share as a story. But that's the exception, not the rule. And the best salespeople, you know, they have to deal with all sorts of adversity and in order to be successful. And so if they come in and speak badly about their former employers, you know, it's a bad sign. It's an opportunity. It gives you a sense that perhaps they are a blamer as opposed to the type of person that is you know, wearing and owning all their own performance. And I know you're big on attitude. Well, this is a sign of bad attitude.
No, I agree, because if you come in blaming someone else, chances are when you work in the organization, you're not going to take responsibility. And I always believe, Elliot, if someone is talking to me about someone else behind their back, chances are they're probably talking about me behind my back.
Guaranteed.
Absolutely. And number two you talk about is only did surface research. All right, so with the internet out there, how much research really should a candidate do before they go into an interview?
Well, they better know. You know, they better know all about your company, and you know, and you know, there's so much information available that there's no reason why they can't come in, you know, understanding what your company does and which direction it's moving in and key aspects of the company. It's an interview is like a sales call, right? The employer is playing the role of a prospect, and if you can imagine going into a sales call and giving the impression to, you know, your prospect that you don't really care that much about them, and you certainly don't care enough to do some research, you're not getting the sale. So, I mean, it's a good sign. It gives you an indication of the degree to which they're interested in you and also the degree to which they'll prepare on the sales front when they're working for you.
So, Elliot, what are some good questions, thoughtful questions, that you should expect to be hearing from a great candidate?
They should ask, particularly as it relates to sales, they should ask, you know, how is the sales team supported? What kinds of track record are there for other people in the sales team? What success rates are there, you know, and how many people are at quota? Are the goals achievable? How is the company helping their employees to be successful? Those are career-minded questions that top salespeople are going to want to know, because they don't join companies unless they know they're set up to succeed. They have, you know, they have the choice of where they work, and an employer should be prepared to answer that question. However, you know, a lot of situations, you know, when a small business is, they may be hiring this first salesperson, or they may be you know, just starting to, they're making some mistakes and trying to be successful. And, you know, those are tough questions to answer, but they are questions that top salespeople are going to ask, and you got to have good answers for them if you expect to attract them to your company.
We're talking about Elliot Burnett. He's the co-founder and CEO of Peak Sales Recruiting. We're discussing the six red flags that you can notice when you're interviewing someone for a job. Number three, you say, has trouble with monogamy. I thought you can't ask people about their marital status.
Yeah, great point, Barry. And we don't. But when we're talking about monogamy in a career setting, we're talking about people who, you know, what their track record in terms of previous employers looks like. And this is huge. This is, you know, this is probably the biggest issue and perhaps for most people the easiest to spot. In sales, you don't make money by moving around. You know, it takes time to learn a product, to learn the market, and to develop relationships, build a pipeline, and then, you know, convert opportunities and realize that pipeline, turn that into cash. So, you know, great salespeople have relatively long stays. You know, they're multi-year stays at wherever they've been in their career. So if you look at somebody who's had a bunch of 6 month or 1 year stays, probably means one of two things. You know, they either left, you know, and found something that looked better because there were no sales that they were capitalizing on, or they were terminated, again, because there was no sales. And in both cases, you know, you're looking at it, somebody who potentially has a history of not being able to sell, and that's not somebody you want to employ.
All right, so number four is didn't build an emergency time. And I always agree with this. If someone is late for an interview, I immediately disqualify them. Am I too harsh? My wife says I'm too harsh when it comes to time.
Yeah, it does. That's real life. I mean, it's very similar to sales situation. If you show up late for in front of a prospect, you probably lost a sale. And I have a friend who says that if you're not early, you're late. And I tend to agree. You know, there's winners have always have to face adversity again, and you know they've got contingency plans for every situation. So there's a plan A, B, C, D because they expect things to go wrong, and they're successful because they manage all that stuff. So, they have the emergencies pop up, but they don't knock out the winners because they've got a contingency plan for it.
Is there any good excuse for being late? The car keys.
There's good excuses for being late, but that doesn't change the fact that you're out.
Yeah, absolutely. Number five, you say, takes all the credit for their success. And this is one that I have a hard time dealing with because I don't know if what's written on their resume is a result of what they did or what their team did, or they just got lucky and they were there, Elliot.
Yeah, and, you know, and today more than ever, selling is a team sport. So, you know, we don't expect people to have done it all themselves, but by the same token, we also are looking for somebody who is taking a lead role. So you got to listen to the language. And again, I know you're big on listening in interviews. This is a part in the interview where you got to ask a lot of questions and listen. Let the person talk. So, you know, if you hear I a lot, you know, you potentially have somebody who's big on the ego side and possibly has a lack of humility because they're not sharing credit where credit's due. And on the other hand, if you hear we a lot, I'd want to probe deeper to find out, you know, that could be a sign that they actually didn't take a lead role and perhaps weren't the person that drove the sales that they are taking credit for.
So it's difficult, though, to find the right balance.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's important. I mean, you need a team player. Sales, you know, we have this sort of perception that sales is a lone wolf sport, and that's not true in most cases today. So we're looking for... We're often looking for somebody who is a great team player, works well with others, has the ability to develop interpersonal relationships and leverages all the resources around them, but also has the DNA to drive success independently.
So number six, you say inability to discuss their weakness. Now, this is always a tough question, I think, because people are going to ask, so what are some of your weaknesses? And whenever I used to interview way back when, I didn't want to give them a real weakness because I didn't want them to really know where I was weak, but I wanted to give them a strength that could seem like a weakness. What's a good answer there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think there's, you know, we don't expect people to be perfect. There is no such thing as perfection. I mean, you have people that are highly successful that have weaknesses. And, you know, people that are self-aware and confident are also people that are comfortable talking about their weaknesses because they have mechanisms to mitigate and overcome those weaknesses. So you might get people saying, you know, I understand I get, you know, extremely intense at times, and that could be a problem for the people working around me. But I do accept that that's the case, and I watch it, and I notice it, and I try to manage it when it happens.
So one more question I have with 30 seconds we have left. I really believe that you can tell if someone's going to succeed or fail in the first 2 to 4 weeks. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, you'll see the habits of successful people. Often a sales cycle might preclude you from seeing sales in that time, particularly if it's a longer sales cycle, but their habits will usually tell you one way or the other.
And if they're not going to work out, you got to cut them loose right away. I always believe you got to be slow to hire, but you got to be quick to fire.
Absolutely.
Elliot, thanks so much for being on the show.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Barry.
Coming up next, does what you wear at the office influence your performance? You're going to be shocked with the results of the new study. This is AM 560, The Answer. We're going to be all dressed up and right back.
At this time of fear and uncertainty across the world, Americans are turning to their president for leadership and assurance. What? He said what?
What I'm not interested in doing is posing or pursuing some notion of American leadership or America winning or whatever other slogans are they come up with.
Wow. Okay. So keep listening to find out what President Obama says next. Right here on AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts.
We will not give in to fear or start turning on each other or treating some people differently because of religion or race or background.
Speaking in Malaysia, President Obama tells ISIS the U.S. and his allies won't back down. He also tells Russian President Putin he needs to direct airstrikes at ISIS in Syria and go after the people who killed Russian citizens. Republicans in Louisiana say last night's election is a fluke. Democrat John Bel Edwards beat political powerhouse Republican U.S. Senator David Vitter to win the governor's race. And first big snow, now big low.
Really cold up towards the Great Lakes. 9 in Chicago. That's not the wind chill. That's the actual air temperature.
Fox's Janice Dean. Parts of the Midwest could see temperatures dip below zero this morning. The snowstorm dropped up to 20 inches in some areas. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Rich, taking a look at the roadways. A couple of problems out there. We'll start off in Darien with an accident at Lamont and I-55. Also, eastbound Jane Addams, getting reports of a broken-down tow truck in the left lane at Arlington Heights Road. 65 north and southbound reported to be a skating rink. Multiple spinouts have been reported. Same goes with 80 east and westbound just west of 55. Really anything west and south of the area, expect it to be icy. Traffic is sponsored by Crystal Farms. For delicious cheese that is satisfying from snack time to mealtime, choose Crystal Farms of Lake Mills, Wisconsin. In savory slices, shreds, blocks, and snacks. Crystal Farms, made by cheese lovers for cheese lovers. And your weather forecast, it may be a little cheesy, but watch out for some cold temperatures. High is struggling to reach 30. Your next update comes your way in just 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Four new employees.
A 20% increase in revenue.
Being one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage helps you achieve business milestones with cloud and software solutions that lead to deeper financial insights. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Merlin 200,000 Mile Shops are offering car owners 40 hints for money-saving motoring.
Hint number 4, Worn-out tires can cost you a lot more than new tires.
It's true. In the long run, badly worn tires put stress on suspension parts,
which can lead to real expensive repairs.
Worn tires have poor traction.
That's why so many families are riding on Merlin 200,000-mile warranted tires.
What's your family riding on?
Stop in at your local Merlin 200,000-mile shop for details and a free tire inspection today.
At Merlin.
More life for you and your car.
It's never too early to be prepared for winter driving. Start with a free tire and wiper blade inspection at your local Merlin shop. It's one of the easiest and most important things you can do to be prepared. Right now, receive a $50 rebate on the purchase of four general tires and up to a $15 rebate on wiper blades. Visit Merlins.com for details to find a shop and make an appointment.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
At my last company, after working at IBM for 10 years, I wanted nothing to do with a dress code. I wanted to wear whatever I wanted to wear, and so I extended this to all my employees. But then people started coming into work wearing flip-flops and bathing suits. And I began to wonder, did the way they dress really affect their performance? My next guest, Abe Rutschick, has done a fascinating study on this area. There was an article appeared in the Atlantic Monthly. Abe is a professor of psychology at California State University. Abe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Good to be here.
Well, as the article said, does the clothes make the man or woman? Does it really matter?
Yeah, I think there is an effect when you put on clothing of a particular kind. I mean, we all know the feeling of looking in the mirror when we're dressed up really nicely on our way to a wedding, on our way to some event. We put the clothes on, we straighten the tie, we look in the mirror, we're like, I'm ready to go.
And so how'd you get on this whole thing of actually doing the study? It seems it's not something you'd initially come across.
Yeah, it's funny. Your intro was perfect for this. I actually started it in exactly that way. I was going to graduate school in Santa Barbara, where the default outfit was flip-flops and board shorts. And I did that all the time. And then one day I had to wear a shirt for some event later in the day. So I buttoned up this shirt and sat at the computer to work. And I felt a little more energized, a little different, just doing some writing. And so I took that idea later when I had the ability to conduct my own research and tried to study it systematically.
So give us some more results of the research, actually, what you found and how you did this.
Yeah, so the basic idea, these participants are students. So, you know, you have to imagine that their standard dress is fairly casual. A lot of psychological research uses student participants, so that's what we did. And we told them to either bring with them, actually to bring both formal clothing, like what they'd wear to a job interview, and casual clothing, like what they'd wear to class. And they brought those to my lab, and I randomly assigned them to change into one or the other. And then I gave them one of a set of different cognitive tests. And these tests are measuring kind of the way they're thinking, not just how well they're thinking. That's not something we found. We're looking at how they're thinking. Are they thinking more generally, broadly, creatively, abstractly, or more narrow, more detailed, more the trees than the forest? And what we found pretty consistently across a bunch of measures is that people wearing formal clothing thought more broadly, more abstractly, more creatively.
So are we making a mistake, do you think, in our business culture by letting people wear whatever they want?
Well, it's funny because when you think about the clothing you're wearing, a lot is going on. There's the effect on the wearer, yeah, but there's also the effect on the people looking at you and how they think about you, how they treat you, the overall environment in the workplace. And so all those things have to play. You know, if you're in an occupation where you want people feeling casual, feeling intimate, feeling connected to each other, then casual clothing might be what you want. But if you're looking for formality, if you're looking for a little more reserve, then you want to create that impression of dignity, right? In terms of the effects on the wearer, yeah, I mean, I found this effect of more creativity and more breadth when people are dressed formally. But of course, you know, the effect on the person looking at you can't be ignored.
And so it was very interesting because I remember when I worked at IBM, where of course we wear white shirts and blue suits and ties. Our work areas were also incredibly neat. And then in my third company, where people started wearing flip flops and bathing suits, I found that the office was a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do think that the broader point of all this is that, you know, the clothes we wear, the environments around us do affect the way we think. I mean, I think that having a desk that's clean, having an office that's clean, having a space around you that you're looking at that isn't cluttered, I think does make a difference in how we think.
Why do you think that the work environment, Abe, has really gone to much more casual over the years?
Well, I think society as a whole has become more casual with, you know, with the way the internet's expanded, the way social media has gone on, with more telecommuting. Just generally the way society has gone, I think it's become more of a casual place. And I think that's spread into the work context as well. I mean, if you think of business icons from 50 years ago, right, you picture a person wearing a suit. And if you think about business icons now, you think of Mark Zuckerberg, right? And it's a very clear fashion association with Zuckerberg and Steve Jobs and really tech, where tech people don't wear formal clothing as often these days. Modern Silicon Valley tech is just different from IBM tech. And that's, I think that's really driven it.
You know, to me, what's fascinating is that although a lot of places are much less formal, you know, people are working in open environments, also without offices, a lot of times these things called formal Fridays, Abe, is actually coming back. So people are saying, no, I really do want to dress up.
They just want to do something different on Fridays.
Exactly.
I think it's the appeal. Yeah. No, and I think that's kind of cool. I think Casual Friday, of course, began as a chance to start the weekend and have it be a day that's a little bit unique, make the week feel a little shorter and so on. And I think Formal Friday has the sort of reverse effect, or the same effect, but it's reversed because the standard has become so casual. So I think Formal Friday is a very charming thing and could lead to some really good stuff. Going into the weekend with a little more energy, with a little more creativity, I think that's a good thing.
Things always change. Just last question I have for you. What do you think of formal dress codes for an organization? Should there be one, or just let people wear whatever they're comfortable?
Yeah, it's a tricky call. You're touching on a personal thing here where I just hate being told what to do so passionately that I react instinctively against it. I do think it depends a great deal on what the work is you're doing at your organization. If you're doing fact-checking and copy editing and detail-focused things versus more long-term thinking and idea generation. If I'm doing financial planning, I want formality. I think I want people thinking about the long-term and about the broad things. If I'm doing copy editing, I don't care about that as much.
So, Abe, I appreciate being on the show. Where can people learn more about your work?
They can go to rutschick.com, my website, and they can check out all my research posted there.
Abe, thanks for being on the show. I found the article fascinating.
Thanks very much, Barry. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, how do you lead merged companies that have two different cultures? We're going to show you how. It's AM 560, The Answer.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Rich, taking a look at the roadways. Big problems on the inbound Edens. We're getting reports of a rollover at Lake Cook, just past Lake Cook Road. Crews are headed to the scene. Other than that, eastbound Jane Addams still have a tow truck disabled sitting in the left lane. That should be there for a little bit longer. And in Darien, watch out for an accident. Lamont in I-55. 65 north and southbound, a complete skating rink with icy roadways. Multiple spinouts have been reported. You can say the same for any roads southwest and southeast of the city, as we've seen some pretty nasty conditions in this overnight period. So definitely, if you do have to head out and about, definitely make sure to take your time out there. Weather forecast, looking for a high in the low 30s. So give yourself plenty of room to bundle up. Your next update comes your way in just 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
My proudest number is 2005. That's the year I started my business. It was just me for 2 years, and then I hired my first employee.
My proudest number is 20. Last year, I saw a 20% increase in revenue. We got our first six-figure check, too.
My proudest number is 36. That's how many new clients I've signed. And next quarter, I'll double it.
My proudest number is 42. I was 42 when I became one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S., and I never looked back.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage Cloud and Software Solutions help you achieve these milestones by providing deeper insights into all your numbers. So believe in them. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today to learn more.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, leading a company is difficult in any situation, but how do you lead a business after a series of acquisitions with companies that have different cultures? Here to help is a man that's done that. Bob Chapman is the chairman and CEO of Barry Waymiller, a global capital equipment and engineering consulting company. It's a combination of almost 80, that's 80, acquired companies spread among 10 operating divisions. He blogs about leadership and culture at www.trulyhumanleadership.com. He's got a new book out called Everybody Matters. Bob, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
How do you do this? Because so many acquisitions fail because it's not a match of culture, but you did 80 of these.
That's probably the most frequently asked question. I'd say it's also the easiest to answer because we have found in this journey that we've been on, this cultural journey for like the last 12 years, that there is a universal truth that everybody in the world wants to know that who they are and what they do matters. And when you acquire a new company and you sit down and you tell people, I believe in you, now let's go do good things together and we're going to value you, people respond tremendously to this all over the world, in France, Germany, Italy, Hungary, England, India, South Dakota, everywhere in the world, people just want to know that who they are and what they do matters.
Even in South Dakota?
Even in South Dakota.
So a lot of people say that in business, we're going to make sure that the employees know they matter. But how do you actually do it, and how do you actually practice it, Bob?
Well, it was a big challenge because this is really about the transition from management, supervisors, bosses, managers, to leaders, mentors, and coaches. So we had to create a university because what we really, remember, statistically, 88% of all people in this country feel they work for an organization that does not care about them. And 3 out of 4 people are disengaged in their job. So that's where we start with most organizations. But when you step into a business and you say, we care about you, now let's go do good things together, it's amazing how people want, they're so hungry for this in the world, not just this country, in the world, and not just in business, in every organization, people want to know that they matter. And when you show them they do through leadership practices, and the key is to share a vision with them for where we're going to go, why we're going to go there, and why, when we get there, you're at a better place. And then in the process of doing that, we help them become leaders, teach them how to care for their people. Because we're not taught that in our universities. We're taught to manage people instead of allow people to thrive and be their best self.
So why is that? Because you're right. When I went to business school, I didn't really learn that. I learned that, hey, well, I got to manage the people. I got to tell them what to do.
Exactly. I went to business school, took management classes, got a management degree, and what did I try and do? I went out and tried to manage. I thought they paid me the good salary because I knew more than anybody else. And what we've realized in this journey is our people know a lot. And when you ask them to share their gifts towards a better future, they shine and they feel valued and they go home. Remember, for your listeners, 90% of the feedback we get from this leadership model, truly human leadership, caring for the people that whose lives we're entrusted with, is how it affects their marriage and their parenting of their children. That is the biggest feedback we get, that we enrich their lives because we care for them in our business. And that's what it's all about, caring, not seeing people as a function, not as an accountant, a receptionist, an engineer, a machinist, but seeing as somebody's precious child that you've been entrusted with and simply caring about the stewardship of them.
So, Bob, give us an example, because I have to tell you, every single small business owner is listening will say, yeah, I care about my people, but they really don't.
Right, right.
Right. Example of really caring that you've really seen or you've really practiced?
Well, the most profound act and the least appreciated act is to listen to them. And that one message I would want your listeners to get. We have learned in terms of becoming leaders, the greatest skill, the most fundamental skill leaders need to have to care, and you actualize care by listening to your people, sitting down, sharing with them a vision, helping them validate that vision, and communicating with them. And communicating means listening to your people because they want to contribute. They want to share their gifts. And when you do that, they blossom and thrive.
So, Bob, it's okay to I mean, a lot of people say, yeah, it's okay to listen when things are going well, it's prosperous. But what happens when you hit the Great Recession? Then what do?
Well, in our case, when we hit the economic downturn of 2008-2009, which tested every business model in the world, we didn't let people go because we said if we measure success by the way we touch the lives of people, how are we going to deal with a 35% drop in the order rate for our new equipment in our business? And we said, well, what would a caring family do if it experienced stress? Everybody would take a little pain so that nobody took a lot of pain. So what we did is we came up with the idea that if everybody took a month off, nobody would have to be let go. And it was an unbelievably positive reaction for our team members because they weren't doing it to keep the company more profitable. They were doing it to help their brothers and sisters in the company keep their jobs. And so it was an act of generosity, an act of caring. So we ended up having a tremendous positive response in the economic downturn because we were stimulated by, if we measure success by the way we touch the lives of people, how do we deal with an economic downturn? We all try and suffer together and get through it together and come out stronger.
You know, that's very interesting because I think a lot of small business owners, Bob, have to make the decision when things get tough. Do they let people go or they just reduce the compensation of everybody in the company? And you're suggesting that you reduce the compensation by letting them take a month off.
We said, yes, some people, we were told, some people said, well, why don't you just cut their pay by 5% or something like that? That would have the same effect. And I said, no, because if we're going to ask people to give us a gift of taking some time off so we can get through this when we don't have as many orders or work to do, we are going to give them a gift for doing that, which is time with their family and a time that they pick. So we let them pick the time, and the reaction was amazing.
All right, Bob, we got to go. The website is www.everybodymattersbook.com. Thanks so much, Bob.
Thank you.
This is AM 560. The Answer will be right back.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows to a crawl. This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
The holidays are just around the corner, and you want your home to feel warm and inviting so that you can create a memorable experience. Before you start decorating for the season, call Executive Green Carpet Cleaning at 708-599-5151. There's still time to have your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout cleaned before those special dinner guests arrive. Executive Green Carpet Cleaning's process is safe for your entire family. They use their own purified water and a non-toxic solution that leaves no residue, so you can rest assured you'll have a clean carpet when the kids and grandkids exchange their gifts. Want one of the best gifts this holiday season? It's Executive Green's no-risk guarantee. If you are not 100% satisfied, you will not pay for your service. Make your home beautiful for the holidays by scheduling now at 708-599-5151. Ask about their holiday special, 3 rooms for $139. 708-599-5151 or schedule online at executivegreencarpetcleaning.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
There's nothing that strikes terror more in the heart of a small business owner than receiving a notice, a letter, or getting audited by the IRS. But what happens? You don't have to kiss things goodbye. There actually is a way to defend yourself. Here to help is Garrett Gregory. He's of the Gregory Law Group, PLLC. He's a former IRS agent, now come out from the dark side to come do some good for the small business world. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
So I have to tell you, we've all, and probably you don't because you work for the IRS previously, but we get that letter from the IRS and we're just shaking when we open it up. What's the first thing we should do?
Well, the first thing you should do is seek competent representation. Trying to go it alone is never a good idea. In addition to that, we need to start gathering documents. We need to read the correspondence you get from the IRS very carefully, because usually they're asking for some specific items. So we need to start wrapping our brain around exactly what they're asking and preparing to respond to those categories on your income tax return that they're trying to take a look at.
So give us the definition between just getting a notice and a full audit, because they are different things, right?
There can be, yeah. I mean, sometimes they'll basically give you a notification that something doesn't match on your return or there's a mathematical error, so we've corrected it, here's a bill, or here's a refund. Believe it or not, it can swing both ways.
Really? There's something called refunds?
Believe it or not, that happens every now and then.
It happened once back in 1983.
That's right. But more often than not, yeah, it's going to be a letter, a notification of an audit. And there can be different kinds of audits. There's correspondence audits handled through the mail. There's office audits where it's with a real live human being, but they make you travel to them. They don't leave the building. And then there's field audits where they travel to you. If you're a small business, more often than not, you're going to get a field audit, which, good news, bad news, at least you're dealing with a human being and they can travel to you. But they're also generally the sort of black belts, if you will, of revenue agents. They're the guys that have more experience, that are paid a little more than the other folks, and they're going to be able to take a more exhaustive look at your return and figure out if something's wrong on it.
So if someone's coming to visit you, then you know you're kind of really screwed.
Well, they're going to take a look. They're going to kick the tires. They can open up. You know, usually they'll start with 1 year. The notice that you'll receive will indicate, hey, we're going to look at your 2013 tax year, for example. We want to look at the Schedule C, various lines, blah, blah, blah. But then once they get out there, if they find that there's some substantial adjustments that they're going to end up proposing to make, and they're the types of adjustments that are likely to have occurred in previous or later years, they will very easily expand that 1 year to three, and they can even go from three to six if they jump through some hoops administratively within the IRS.
And so how do you help people fight the IRS? What do you really do for them?
Well, the main thing we do is, you know, before anything, we contact the IRS, let them know they're represented, so they'll communicate with us instead of directly with the taxpayer. So that allows the client to really focus on, you know, raising their kids, running their business, and doing all that stuff while we're handling the tax engagement. And then we work with the client to, you know, let's really pull focus on what the IRS is trying to look at. And what we see very often is while these small business owners, and, you know, I count myself in this group, small businesses are really good at what they do, but they're not necessarily that great at the paper that's going on in the back office or is supposed to be going on in the back office. So we start taking a look at their documents, their bookkeeping, their records, all of that memorialization and substantiation that we're going to have to show the IRS. And where they have good documents, wonderful. Where they don't, we start figuring out what our narrative to the IRS is going to be. Because generally speaking, the rule is if you can't substantiate it, you don't get
it. That's right.
Garrett,
we're out of time for this segment, but we appreciate you being on the show.
Sure. Thank you very
much. Document everything. I want to thank our sponsors, Sage One and Nextiva. Special thanks to our booking producers, Sarah Shaffron and Debbie Schreiner. If you're serious about getting your small business unstuck, give me a call, 773-837-8250. Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a very profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at BarryMaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Recently, Chicago heard about